Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. You're joined by your host, James J. at 9.05. I've got Melissa and Beth with us. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll be joined in just a little bit by Taylor Schaefer, Allison Dairyland's own. Looking forward to Taylor joining us. And a little bit after that, we're, of course, going to talk a little bit of good stories of the day, then I write stories, have some fun. Right now, we are going to move out of the way and go ahead and get to the kitchen being open. The kitchen's open, everybody.
All right. Yeah, so for Monday, December 12th, 2022, it's baking season. For some of us, that is. Some people love to bake, and some think they can't or they're not good at it. Well, we're going to dip our toe into the art of baking, the whys and the hows, and give you a few helpful tips along the way.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. So why do we bake? Is it just because we're hungry for homemade baked goods, less preservatives, because that's how I bribe my mechanic? Well, maybe a little bit of all of the above.
It could be. Well, baking's a productive form of self-expression and communication. So believe it or not, it's an art form that can bring out a sense of overall well-being, and it's a great way to relieve stress, believe it or not. It can also add a little bit, depending if how you are reactive to little things that might happen. But overall, it's a great way to just let go and enjoy. Associate Professor of Psychological and Brain Sciences at Boston University, Donna Pincus, stated, "There's a lot of literature for connection between creative expression and overall well-being, whether it's painting or it's making music or baking. There is a stress relief that people get from having some kind of an outlet and a way to express themselves."
Yeah, absolutely. And baking for other people can also be a helpful way to communicate your feelings. It takes time and effort to make baked goods and food, and that's really an expression of love. So, go ahead, Beth.
Think about how your mother used to help you, and ways that we can say thank you to people is often baking cookies or giving them something to eat.
Yeah. So, and when someone loses a loved one, people often bring food over to show their sympathy. So, yes, I joked earlier that I bribed my mechanic with baked goods, but I truly did appreciate the work he did for me, and I enjoyed making him cookies, and he loved it. Like, it was the best day when I'd bring him cookies. So baking can be also be an act of mindfulness, because it requires your full attention and being present in the moment. Baking allows your senses to work in unison. You can see, feel, touch, smell, and taste what you are making, which allows your senses to be fully involved in your creation. So something that they're doing more of and really learning more about, things like culinary art therapy, is more commonplace now, along with art therapy. It's a type of therapy known as behavioral activation, and it can actually help with depression and feelings of sadness.
And that's a wonderful thing. Anything that we can do to kind of help ourselves is a great thing. The thing with baking, it's a little bit different than cooking. With baking, it allows you to control the ingredients, and it's more scientific than cooking, where you can just dash in this a little bit of this and that. There's some scientific balances that need to happen. This is necessary. And the control of the ingredients also helps if you've got any type of food allergies, some of which can be very serious.
In your household.
In my house, it's the peanut tree nut thing. And so we have to be very cautious of that. We have had one instance where we've had to go to the ER because of it. And I know in your house,
that's scary.
The gluten and the dairy. So finding ways to kind of find substitutes to make it work.
Where those aren't going to send us to the emergency room, it still makes you pretty uncomfortable.
It does. And you don't want people to feel bad after they eat anything. You want them to feel good. But even if you don't have any allergies, baking your own bread, cookies, and cakes are a healthier way to enjoy these foods. You can control how much sugar or salt is in the recipe. You can also swap out butter and not when Allison Dairyland is with you. You could swap out butter or oil for things like applesauce, or use reduced fat or fat-free dairy products in place of regular things. You can add fiber to your baked goods to increase the amount of fiber you get in your diet, and in a very tasty way. Something that tastes, you know, we think about the fiber foods that are out there and we're like, eh. You can make high fiber foods that taste good.
Well, because I'm always looking at those fiber contents in bread and like, why can't this be more?
Right. Like,
how hard would it be to put more fiber in here?
Exactly. And prepackaged foods are often prepared with the lowest quality ingredients to keep the cost down. So if you make your own, you can have great quality ingredients and still have the health benefits. Low-grade oils can also promote inflammation. So you want higher-grade oils to help reduce the cholesterol.
And for people that suffer from things like fibromyalgia, and things of that nature, or they're dealing with inflammation in their body already, adding in foods that exacerbate that problem, or
it's just going to make them feel worse.
Right. So are you someone who thinks you can't bake, James? I mean, anybody? Well, my Grandma Ruth always said, can't means you're too lazy to try.
Absolutely.
And that's true to some extent. It always provoked me to prove that I wasn't lazy anyway. But if you've had that thought or some failures in the oven that set you back, here are some tips to help you feel confident to try again.
Well, and that's the thing. Think about if you don't succeed the first time, you get back up and you do it again.
Yeah, practice makes perfect.
Same way in the kitchen. Just because it didn't turn out the first time doesn't mean that you can't try again and it'll come out even better the second time.
Right.
Some tips to make that happen is to always read the recipe thoroughly before you start. You want to make sure that you have everything you need. You don't want to be halfway through the recipe and go, oh, I don't have this. Or I don't have
enough eggs. Oh, man.
Yeah. Now what do I do with the stuff that I did put together?
Mm-hmm.
You also want to have time to be able to complete the project, because sometimes it takes a little bit more time to put things together than it does to bake. Other times it takes longer to bake than to put it together. So you want to know what you're dealing with. And there are some shortcuts. If you don't have room temperature butter, you can always grate the butter into the mixing bowl. And
which is going to warm it up without melting it.
Exactly. So that you can have the right consistency, because room temperature butter is about consistency more than anything else.
Yes.
Or if the dough needs to be refrigerated before you bake, I know a lot of the sugar cookie recipes that I have, you make the dough, but you have to put it in the refrigerator to set for a little while.
So you get it to harden up a little bit.
Yeah. You can't just make the dough and then cut out the cookies. There's a little bit of time that you have to have in there. So planning ahead can take some of those worries off the stove.
So here's another thing, is to get to know your oven. So some ovens take longer to heat than your preheated indicator takes you. I like every time that thing goes ding, 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 like liar. Because it's never to temp, or at least that seems to happen to me. So get an oven thermometer, because then as your oven is heating and it says it's preheated, you can look at that thermometer in there and go, yeah, not quite. It needs more time. So as you get to know your oven, you can help to mitigate some of these issues, which might impact your baking.
Yeah.
So some areas of your oven can be hotter than others, so you may need to rotate your pan halfway through baking so that it bakes evenly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And oven temps can vary greatly. So check your baked goods sooner than the recipe calls for, so you don't overbake.
Absolutely.
And if you don't have, you know, a thermometer in there.
And lots of ovens have the timer on them, so that you can set a timer. And when the recipe suggests a certain time, do it like 3 or 4 minutes in advance of that. Because you can always add more time to the timer.
And there's so much that affects baking. Altitude.
Yes.
Affects baking.
Weather, believe it or not, humidity can affect some recipes as well. So that's something to consider as well. With things like quick breads, muffins, and cakes, you want to test those with a toothpick for doneness.
I remember when my mom first showed me how to do this, and I was amazed. Like, really? That's how you tell it's done? Cool.
Yeah. You can stick a toothpick, or I have a metal tester that actually came with something that I bought for baking.
Hmm.
You stick it right in the center, and then if it comes out with batter on it, it's not ready. You need to let it bake a little bit longer. But if it comes out clean or with just a few crumbs on it, then you know you're ready, even if it's before the time on the recipe tells you.
Right.
Or it may be that the recipe said it was going to take sooner than it would. You know, I need to put it back in for a little bit longer. But that helps you know exactly when that is going to be done.
Right. And if, like, for instance, your edges look done, but your middle is definitely not, you can also then, like, cover up the edges with some foil. So those don't get, they'll slow the baking down a little bit and let your middle get done.
Think of it as a cheap baking version of a meat thermometer.
Yes. and recyclable. You know, throw it in the fireplace.
There you go.
So another good tip is to start with easy recipes like quick breads, or here's a really wonderful one, cookie bars.
Yes.
Because these can help you build your confidence, give you that sense of accomplishment, as well as a tasty reward for all your hard work.
Yes.
So a basic cookie bar recipe is you just beat 2 sticks of softened butter with 1 cup each granulated and light brown sugar until it's fluffy. Add 3 eggs and 1.5 teaspoons vanilla and beat that until it's mixed. Then with your beater on low, add 3 cups of flour and 3/4 teaspoon each baking soda and salt. Beat that till it's combined. Stir in 1 bag of chocolate chips or toffee chips or M&Ms or whatever kind of, you know, chips you want to put in there. Spread that into a greased 9x13 pan. Bake 35 to 40 minutes or until the toothpick comes out clean. Mm-hmm. And you have easy cookie bars that didn't require you to shape the cookies and put them on the pan and do that over and over while you bake the entire batch.
Yeah. And they taste just as good.
Yes.
You could also online find mug cookies that you can just use the microwave for, and you don't even have to worry about whether or not your oven is heated.
I got into making mug cakes
of
several years ago because it was so you could make cake for one.
Yeah.
In a mug.
So if you're single and you don't want to bake for a whole bunch of people, or you have no other reason to bake, but you want something sweet, that's a great alternative to have. All you need is a coffee mug and all of the ingredients. And step by step, you just mix it all up in the mug and pop it in the microwave.
Voila, cake or cookie.
Well, and here are some other useful tips for any level baker that can help make your baking experience more enjoyable. With cookies, take the cookies out when the edges have hardened. This keeps them soft and chewy in the center, and then they won't get hard in the middle and dry on the edges the next day. The also thing to learn, and this was a huge game changer for me, is when you store them in a container, put a piece of bread in there, whether it be the heel or another piece, and that helps them retain their moisture. It takes the moisture from the bread and puts them into the cookies.
Which is just weird to me. I don't understand how that works, but it's cool that it does.
It does, yeah. And then they taste and have that same feel and taste as they did when you got them out of the oven.
Yep. So this is what I need to do because I have not invested in a silicone baking mat. I do have some silicone kitchen items. I've got a silicone popcorn maker for the microwave that works great. I think there's some cupcake silicone pans in there that I haven't tried yet. But it saves your pans and it cuts the cleaning time in half. And some say that it even makes the cookies bake more evenly.
They can, yeah. And if you don't want to do the cleanup, using parchment paper.
Parchment paper is another option, yeah.
Can also help as well. So it won't necessarily help even out the cooking time, but it does make cleanup a lot easier because then you just have to throw that away and less cleaning with the pan. You need to coat things like dried fruit and chocolate chips in flour before adding them to the batter. Now, this is something new that I'm learning because this helps prevent them from sticking down to the bottom, and it ensures that they can be distributed more evenly
throughout the batter before you bake them. Yeah, yeah, that's a great idea. You can also, this one, I have done this because how many times do you, like, all right, this is enough batter for 12 muffins, and you get to the 12th muffin
and there's
and there's no batter left. So you can use an ice cream scoop to fill your muffin or cake pans, cupcake pans, and that takes the guessing out of the mix.
Right. And if you don't have an ice cream scoop, they do sell at a lot of baking stores or through different baking merchandisers, specific cookie scoops of different sizes so that you can vary how big you want your cookies to be. Mm-hmm. And they work very similar to an ice cream scoop.
Or even using like a measuring cup to scoop the batter in. It's a little more, I don't know if it would be more messy, but it just kind of the same thought.
Yeah.
Use what you have.
You want to make them as even as possible so they all cook at the same time.
Right.
Another good tip is to spoon your flour into your measuring cup instead of scooping it. And that way you don't get any air bubbles in your flour and you get the right amount. My mom always had me tap the bottom of the cup with a knife and then scrape off the top. Because like I said, this is more scientific. You want to make sure you have that right amount in there.
Yeah. And the amount of flour is important in a lot of baking.
Mm-hmm. And you should always sift your flour so that it doesn't clump or anything. It doesn't seem like that's that much, but it can actually make a huge difference in the texture and the way that your baking comes out.
That's something that I haven't been able to do yet. Like, I always want to. It feels like I should be able to add this step in, but then I get to it. I'm like, it's work, and then I got to clean the thing. And then, but yes, no, I think it's worthwhile.
Yep. And there are some recipes that specifically call for that.
Yes.
Not all do, but some specifically do. So investing in just a, you can do with a crank handle, and they also have ones that are hand pumped.
Mm-hmm. Or you can just use a simple colander.
Yeah.
That's the mesh colander.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you need to use chilled butter, you can grate it and freeze it for about an hour beforehand. And this keeps the fat molecules intact when you're mixing it, because you'll handle it less. So then it will result in flakier pastries that hold their shape.
Yep.
This one I'm going to try, because pastries and me aren't friends yet.
And that's the key, especially with things like scones and pie crusts. You want to make sure that the butter is as cold as you can get it.
Well, and like you mentioned before, if you need it at room temperature, you can also grate it from the fridge, which will cool, you know, like warm it up, I guess, quicker. So the temperature of butter makes a big difference in baking.
It really
there's
does.
There's
it does.
More science involved in it than some of us may want. But if you follow these simple rules, it'll help you out.
It really does. And another little tip, add instant coffee to your chocolate brownies.
This one seemed weird.
But it does. It makes the chocolate taste more like chocolate. It gives it a depth of flavor that's not there if you don't add instant coffee. Or even, I have a recipe from my grandmother for chocolate cookies that has brewed coffee in it.
Oh, really?
That same intent is it helps bring out the flavor of the chocolate.
And I wonder if it's the acidity or the balance of the bitters.
It could be.
With it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually make your brownies or taste like coffee. It just makes the chocolate taste more like chocolate.
Absolutely.
So this is a big one for those of us who have little patience. Always let your cakes cool before you try to frost them.
Otherwise,
I can tell you how many times. Yep, you scrape. You're trying to spread that frosting so carefully. It's like, no, I waited long enough, and nope, the whole top of the cake comes with it.
Yeah. So give yourself the time. I've ended up in tears with that one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start to understand the reasoning behind it, it helps. I still go back. I can now frost cakes. So don't be afraid to go back and try again.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another big part of the planning. Plan ahead so that you know you have the time to let it cool before you need to frost it to have a wonderful finished baked product.
Absolutely.
All right. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Absolutely.
Oh, jeez. Sorry. I was eating junk food over here. Sorry.
Put that You're not away. Getting geared up to
Put
bake over there, James? Come on.
You need to make your own.
We will take a quick commercial break, but I got to tell you guys, that was a great episode. That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed listening. And to be honest, I almost forgot I had a job to do over here. I was really caught up in that. You guys just every episode getting better and better with that. Love it. Thank you
awesome
so much
thanks.
For that, you two. We'll come back and we're going to talk with Taylor Schaefer, Allison Dairyland's Own, coming up right here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. And we're hoping to be joined by Taylor Schaefer, Allison Dairyland, any moment now. When Taylor calls in, we'll go ahead and go right to her. So we'll just go ahead and bide our time until then. Sound good, ladies?
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Cool. We'll get into this then. So this is an interesting one. I don't know what I actually think about it. I didn't pre-read anything about this. The average dirty dish sits in the sink for a day and a half.
Wow.
A day and a half.
Not in my house. Not in my apartment. No. That's what that's what they're finding out here. Are you someone who does their dishes right away, or do you leave them in the sink to soak way longer than they need to? The average dirty dish sits in the sink for an average of 24 hours and a half, so a day and a half, according to a new survey. That's even though 70% of people polled said that they have a dishwasher.
Well, you have to empty the dishwasher to be able to refill it.
To load it. Yep. Yeah. That's a small step.
That's the challenge.
One demographic really caused that average to shoot up, though, and it's young people. Most people over 25 said more than a day is too long, but half of Gen Zers said anywhere between 1 and 4 days is acceptable.
4 days?
Okay, but caveat to that, if they live alone and they don't make food at home a lot, they may not have a ton of dishes.
Yeah, that's a good caveat.
And if you're rinsing them out. Sorry, Beth?
Is this leaving this out or just not running the dishwasher?
If they don't have a dishwasher and they're just putting it in the sink, I think is what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. The poll also asked people how they load their dishwasher and which things go on the top of the or in the bottom racks. Mm-hmm. And here's the consensus. The things we're most likely to put on the bottom rack are plates, pots, and pans, and utensils in their little basket. And on the top rack, it's coffee mugs, glass, travel mugs, and plasticware. Bowls could be at the top or bottom, depending.
On space, yep.
Yeah. And one more random stat, the average American has 5 things sitting in their freezer right now that they haven't touched since the start of 2022.
Just 5? Come on.
I thought that was a little high, but you're right, Melissa. Now that I'm thinking about it, actually, that probably is a lot higher. We're probably not being fair on that.
Well, and especially if you've got a deep freeze, you know, like a chest freezer. So what we keep in our freezer above the refrigerator in the kitchen is usually things you go through more frequently or you use more often. But some of that stuff in that deep freeze, oof, I don't know.
That's a good It's interesting. I just thinking, and I've never thought about this before. I've never had a dishwasher. I've never lived anywhere that had a dishwasher or anything like that. So I'm very unfamiliar with that world.
I'm feeling very spoiled because when I lived at my mom's house after she passed away, she had a dishwasher there. So I got a little spoiled with it there. And then I lived in a place that I didn't have one for a while. And now I have one again. Dishwashers are awesome. And they actually use less water than washing dishes by hand, which I appreciate.
I had one in North Dakota named Seth. We got a countertop one. And that went really well.
I genuinely think half the reason a lot of girlfriends kept me around is because of that, is because I did dishes and laundry and things like that. We will take a quick commercial break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with a bunch more fun on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show.
The brandy baby dressed the tree. I got the table looking Christmassy. Wrapped up presents.
Mornings here on WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 9:34 on the clock. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And I'm joined by Melissa and Beth. We hope you're having a great one out there. And I believe that we are joined right now by our good friend Taylor. She is Alice in Dairyland. Good morning, Taylor. Okay. All right. I thought Taylor was there. Not there. All right. That's okay. Hmm. Well, if she calls back, we'll go ahead and get her through. But we are looking forward to Taylor joining us. Alice in Dairyland's Own. We're going to have some fun with that one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For right now, then, let's go ahead and dive into something else. So I did think that this was an interesting one. We'll go ahead and touch on this one. I don't know how this is going to go. I'll be completely honest with you guys. I'm pulling an audible here. I was not even planning on getting into this. If you feel like Alexa is already listening too much, this product is not for you. A team at Georgia Tech came up with a device that straps to your toilet and can diagnose health issues by listening to your movements.
Okay.
Yes, listening to your bowel movements. Yes. Okay. They did a presentation last week at the Acoustical Society of America's annual meeting in Nashville. You know, I didn't make it this year.
You were a little busy.
A little busy this year, couldn't make it. It's called the Diarrhea Detector. It uses AI to analyze the sounds happening inside your poor toilet bowl. And there's a red light that clicks on if it detects something irregular.
Huh.
It also records audio of each extraction, so it can be turned into data and tracked. They found that a healthy bowel movement usually makes a singular tone, while others make much more random ones. For now, they want to use it in areas with lots of caloria.
So, cholera. Thank you. I can't read the thing. Phone is so, everything's so small. So you can avoid outbreak. But someday they think that the algorithm could be used in like devices like Alexa and stuff and things like this.
So this interesting. Is a bunch of crap.
Nice.
I don't know what to make of this.
It's okay to listen, but to have it recorded, I don't want to hear it again.
Yeah. I think that's a really, I didn't even think about that part of it. Yeah, I have a hard enough time. So I've been doing this my whole career in radio. I go back and I listen to old shows, or I'll listen to like yesterday's show or something like that, because there's something in my head like, oh, I wish I would have hit that break differently, or, you know, how my voice is sounding or any of these things. And I can't handle that. I don't like doing it, but I do it because it's how I get better at this job. But I hate listening to myself. I don't know many people that do like listening to themselves. I'm definitely not going to be listening to that. I got a hard enough time listening to my voice. I'm definitely not going to be listening to that.
Well, I think that bowel health is something that we don't talk a lot about America, because it's one of those taboo subjects that we just can't talk about. So having this type of electronic monitoring, let's say, because I don't think the recording is intended for you to listen to yourselves, because yes, you. I think, at least I assume, because I don't, you know, not having read the article or knowing anything about it, I would think that they're recording it to keep track of what is normal for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so that when something is out of the norm, that it can come back and say, yeah, what's going on? You know, there was a difference today. What'd you eat?
Yeah, I believe you're correct, Melissa, and I think you touched on something really important there that I was doing subconsciously, not even thinking about it. But I was going to completely avoid this conversation just because it didn't. For one, I didn't think we could really get that much conversation out of it, and it's just one of those topics. Well, it's you know 9 a.m. I don't know if people really want to hear about this or talk about this. Sometimes I you know self-edit stuff just because of that. The morning. Factor is what in my head I call it, but you're right. It was stuff like this. I mean, we probably should be talking about it more, and that part of the hang up is that we have to talk hushed about it and everything. And maybe if we talked more about it, maybe we wouldn't have so many people going undiagnosed with so many cancers or other diseases.
Right. And that's what I was just thinking. I mean, we lost some great people because of having colorectal cancer. And I wonder if a tool like this would prompt them to possibly get a colonoscopy sooner. You know, because right now the recommendation is, what, 45?
Yeah.
But if their bowel movement indicates that there might be an issue at age 35... that might prompt them to get the preventative diagnosis done.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they are making headway in being able to diagnose those things sooner with different colon tests, where as opposed to a colonoscopy, they have another way to do it now. And I can't recall off the top of my head what it is, but I know it's much easier than drinking a whole lot of, multiple, at least a gallon of that liquid, which is the hardest part of that test.
Yeah. I think it's called Cologuard. There's
That's it.
Mail in a sample and they can find in there. The only issue that way, from what I was told, is that if they do find something, they can't take care of it right away. Whereas with the colonoscopy, they're already in there.
Yeah. Care of it. That's true.
I wonder, if these are the kind of conversations, not only will they create that, but if there's even more, to this topic. It seems like one of those ones I want to push back on right away. And the more you two are talking, the more we're talking about this, the more I'm wondering, I wonder what else, could come from this. Positives, I'm thinking. Obviously, there's the treachery of other stuff, too. But I got to think that there are some positives that will come from this, too.
Right.
Well, there's always a good poop joke now and then can go over in the right space. But talking about actual health concerning our digestion, because so much of our health is tied to the food we put in our body and how our body processes it.
Mm-hmm. And the proper balance of bacteria, too. I mean, think about how much we're now talking about probiotics and how much we've learned about that in recent years.
And good gut bacteria.
Yes.
Good gut bacteria is a great term to mention, too, I think. That's one that doesn't get mentioned nearly enough. We'll take a break right here. We'll go ahead and we'll come back with some more fun. Tons of great stuff coming up for you right here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you, and I'm going to touch on a little entertainment news and then some good stories of the day. We'll take it right up to the top of the hour. Did want to mention that Taylor Schaefer, Allison Dairyland's own, I believe she will probably be joining us tomorrow on tomorrow's show, so we'll be looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun. So let's touch on just a little bit of entertainment news. And, of course, we are the home for everything Dolly. We want to. If Dolly Parton is in the news, you can guarantee that we are going to cover it. It's just kind of worked out that way. It's not really intentional, but why not? You know?
Right.
Dolly Parton's matter-of-fact honesty is one of the millions of things that we love about her. During an interview on CMT Hot 20 Countdown, she revealed a secret function of the wigs she wears.
Oh.
Quote, my wig cap has a little pocket on it in the back because my clothes are so tight. My mic pack don't fit nowhere. There's only room for me in my clothes. There's only room for me in my clothes.
For me in my clothes. Nice.
So I have it. So I have to wear the mic where the mic fits in my hair because I wear wigs all the time. And so it goes right over it. And we just kind of mic it around and it works perfectly.
That makes perfect sense.
It does. And her hair is big. Like, it her is. Wigs are big. So there's room to hide a mic pack in there.
Yeah.
And she's been doing this for decades, apparently. And nobody has ever noticed. Nobody's ever said a thing. And
that's awesome.
I have to say, as somebody who's seen her do a lot of live work over the years, I've never seen any issues with that wig moving. Or I generally am probably one of the few people in the world that will admit this or that, you know, thought this. But when I was up until I was in my early 20s, I thought it was her hair. I didn't know it was a wig. I'd never heard about that. I'd never heard anything about it. When I've mentioned this to people, they laugh at me because, of course, it's a wig. It's like, I don't know. I don't know. It didn't look that much like it was. Look, there's a difference of a wig and a toupee. You know, I mean, right. I don't think I've ever seen a toupee that made me believe, oh, that's real hair. But I've seen a lot of wigs that I had no idea they were a wig.
Well, there's a difference between a cheap wig and a good wig
as
well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess
quality
so,
wigs are expensive. Mm. And they're usually made from real human hair. So that definitely makes them look more real because they are.
My experiences with wigs usually are with a lot of the African-American women that I grew up around or knew and the wigs that they would wear or how they would do that. And you're right, Beth. I mean, none of those women, and we were in a poor neighborhood, and none of those women were putting a quote, poor wig on their head or whatever.
Right.
yeah, I hear you there. Okay. By the way, here's another great moment from Dolly's recent visit to the Kelly Clarkson show. She met a six-year-old named Rosie who was born blind but learned to read Braille thanks to Dolly's charity, the Imagination Library.
Awesome.
Rosie's mom explained that she's 10%, that just 10% of blind kids get the chance to learn Braille, and it's already made a difference in her life.
Wonderful.
You have heard us mention many times on these airwaves, thanks to our friends at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, part of their literacy initiative. There's other ways that you can do this, but for me and many people out there, it's $30 a year, and that means that five books will go to these kids. They'll get these books, and they get their own little personal library. It is, I genuinely believe it's one of the greatest things you could ever do with $30. There's many things you can do with that money, and I'm never going to tell anybody what to do with their money. But man, every year I do that, and I get my money's worth. I'll tell you that much. I just writing that over immediately, the impact that I feel. It's a wonderful feeling. I encourage others to do that, and a big appreciation to Miss Parton for what she does there with that.
Yes, reading is so important, and reading to your kids is important, or the little people in your life.
Yes.
Just a couple of quick hits here real fast. Interesting, they're going to be moving Jason Momoa. They're planning on ditching him as Aquaman so that he can play another DC character.
Really?
Yeah. I've never really heard of anything like this before, but James Gunn and the new team over there are kind of, it sounds more and more like they're just starting over. Everything that happened before those guys is what it is, and they're just kind of move from that. There's an anti-hero called Lobo that they really, really want him to play, Jason Momoa to play, and Jason Momoa really wants to play. In fact, he wanted to play that. He didn't really ever want to play Aquaman. He kind of auditioned for that to kind of get the break, and then that happened. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
Okay.
Taylor Swift is going to write and direct her first movie.
Ooh.
Really?
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, very. She's done that with several of her music videos.
Mm-hmm. It's you know, Taylor has, yeah, you mentioned that Taylor has directed, including a 15-minute video, mm-hmm. All Too Well and stuff. I don't think that she applies to this subject necessarily, but I do have to say that. So recently there's been some talk about with NFL coaches and with people in, you know, the commentators and stuff, people getting jobs that did they earn or did they work, did they build up to? You know, most jobs you got to start from the bottom, work your way up. Mm-hmm. There's a guy, Jeff Saturday, who was a former player who's been covering the sport on ESPN, who just got the head coaching job. And though, although his last head, the only head coaching he's ever had is high school football. Now he's coaching an NFL football team. There's a lot of people that have issues with that. For one, you know, not working your way up through the ranks, and the fact that not many people of ethnicity get those jobs. And here's another white guy that just got to jump the line and everything. This is just conversation that's going on. There is a similar conversation that has existed for decades in the acting industry, where you've got a billion actors and directors and writers just fighting so hard to get it, just to get a meeting, let alone mm-hmm. to get their stuff made. Whereas if I'm a musician, if I'm Sting, if I'm Madonna, if I'm Cher, if I'm Taylor Swift, you want to make a movie? Sure, go right ahead, Taylor. What do you need? What big of a budget do you want? How badly do you want it? What do you need? We'll work with you on here, this. It's not Taylor Swift's fault. It's not Madonna's fault. None of these artists' fault. But it is something that there is a begrudgingness to that. And there are many actors, including very high-profile actors, that don't want to work with people that are getting those opportunities.
Well, how much of her own money is she putting into it?
None.
Really?
Zero. Yeah, none. Yeah. But why would she? Why? She doesn't have to. See what I just said, Beth. I mean, all she's got to do is literally walk into Hollywood. I'm not even talking to a production studio. Just walk into Hollywood and shout out, hey, I want to make a movie. I'm Taylor Swift. they're climbing over each other to do this.
Yeah, having these things just handed to them does feel a little, for the people who are working really hard and like you said, just tooth and nail trying to accomplish something, anything, it's got to feel like a little bit of a low blow.
I got about 74 to 77 scripts, plays, movies that I've written since I was about 12 years old. I'd like to make one of those. I got about 20, 30, 40 friends that are writers and directors and would love an opportunity. Right. Maybe after you're done giving everybody else that already has a spotlight, maybe give them an opportunity. Maybe. We're going to get to some good stories of the day. We'll do that in just a second. This one may take up most of our time, though. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? The world may never truly get to consensus on this, but this might sway a few people. A new trailer that was made to promote the movie's release on 4K presents Die Hard as, quote, the greatest Christmas story. Bruce Willis's John McClane is just a dad. I'm going to play a little bit of the trailer for you in a second here. Actually, I'll just go ahead and do that right now. So this is the trailer that they're talking about.
This is John.
Nice beer.
He just wants to spend Christmas with the family.
Is Daddy coming home with you?
We'll see what Santa and Mommy can do.
But when he gets stuck at the office party...
Merry Christmas!
It'll be a holiday...
Merry Christmas!
...he'll never forget.
First up, Bruce Willis looks so dang good. Young Bruce Willis is just a handsome man. Young Alan Rickman, handsome man. I had to say that. I had to get that in there. There's just some dang good looking gentleman right there. His credit, in case you're wondering where Bruce stands on this, during his Comedy Central roast in 2018, he said Die Hard is, quote, a blank damn Bruce Willis movie. it's not a Christmas movie. It's not a Christmas movie. It's a Bruce Willis movie.
Right. Yep. Well, and I heard a wonderful definition is a Christmas movie is something that if you took the Christmas out, could not stand on its own.
Oh.
And Die Hard is the movie that if you took Christmas out, it could still stand on its own.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but there's a lot of plot holes then if you pull Christmas out. You know, why is he at this building? Oh, why would he be there if it wasn't for a Christmas party? There's so many.
It could have been any kind of office party, couldn't it?
It could, but then you're changing the movie. To me, what I agree with you, what your sentiment is there, Beth. I think that's actually a really good way to kind of define this in your head. Mm-hmm. But then you're changing the movie. You'd have to change the movie literally. I understand what you're saying there, and I do think it makes sense. But I don't think you could really do that. I mean, Die Hard is what it is. Now we've seen like four or five, I think, other versions of Die Hard that have nothing to do with any holiday or Christmas at least. But I have a hard time in my head at least being able to, I guess, edit that. I don't know how, if you were to take Die Hard, the original Die Hard, and try to edit all the Christmas stuff out of it. I don't know if you're going to understand the movie.
Okay, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it. It's been so long since I've seen Die Hard.
Yeah.
And I remember is like him stuck in like an vent.
Oh, God. Bruce Willis talking to himself in a vent is one of my favorite things ever. Yes.
Well, and I think for a lot of people, it's just the tradition of watching it at Christmas time. This is the only time of the year I would watch Die Hard. So to me, it is a Christmas movie for that reason. And if I was going to watch a Christmas movie, this would be my choice.
Nice.
This and Santa Jaws.
Yes.
Christmas, now come on.
I like that. We're going to get to some good stories of the day now. A six-year-old girl wrote a letter to officials in Los Angeles asking if she could keep a unicorn in their backyard. And they said yes. That was our first good story of the day. Just wanted to remind everybody about that one. And if you are curious to look it up, you can go to the LA Times website to find out more. I encourage you to do that. Otherwise, there are some, if you Google it, I'm sure you can find it. I really love the way that they handled that story. So I just want to touch on it.
Sweet.
Just want to mention it one more time. A photographer in Austin thought she got hired to shoot a couple's proposal video at the edge of a cliff, but then her boyfriend showed up with her two kids and he proposed.
Oh,
her best friend helped pull it off and it's all on video. And if you are a foolish romantic like myself, I cannot encourage you enough to check that out.
Yes.
Cute.
If your significant others, lady, if one of them did that to you, happy or angry, and I don't mean angry that they did this, I mean angry that you didn't see it coming.
I mean, it's hard to say. Yeah. I don't know how I'd react.
Yeah.
I really can't.
See, I knew mine was coming because the custom jeweler that was making the engagement ring tried to give it to me that morning before he gave it to Seth.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh.
So, I knew it was coming. I didn't know when. And he couldn't wait. So later, like within hours, that ring was on my finger.
That's too good. I should journalistically mention for this next story, I attended Northern Illinois University, and by that I mean I took a couple classes. And I lived in DeKalb for a couple of years and went to a lot of NIU football games. So a 90-year-old woman just graduated from Northern Illinois University. Go Huskies. She did this yesterday. She's 71 years after she enrolled.
Wow.
She did 3.5 years studying home economics, but quit when she met her future husband. She had to learn to use a computer to do virtual classes this time, but made it happen.
Aww. Way to persevere.
Yeah.
I'm very happy for her, very happy for her family. That's fantastic. I think that just as importantly, though, that is a great story for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Never give up.
Never too old to learn.
Nope.
And, you know, that could, I think that for a lot of people, they think that that means a hobby. That could be anything. With this great migration that has gone on with people leaving jobs for careers or leaving jobs for, you know, funner careers or what have you or any of these things.
Yeah.
What we're seeing a lot of people do, it's not... now that we've had a couple of years of this, the statistics we're seeing, and you can, you know, search engine this one all you want, everybody, it's not young people doing this. It's people in our age range. It's people 29, 30 and up that are doing this. And they're finding that most people that are like a couple of years away from retirement are some of the biggest amount of people that are doing this. So, and they're going into completely different fields that where there's no connection necessarily. So, yeah, I mean, any age, it's an okay age to learn, to grow, and to be you.
Yep. Try something new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Embrace it. Enjoy it. I want to thank both of you for the time. You guys are another good story of the day. Thank you so much. And great work by you guys and by Seth making this happen today so that we could get all three of us on the air together.
Great job, Seth.
Yeah.
Great work by everybody involved. This is also the last time we will ever do this again. I'm never doing I'm joking.
You get to enjoy all the Christmas decorations by yourself.
And I want it to be known. Another good story of the day. The building's still standing. I was alone here for a couple hours, and this building is all right.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well, I did have to send Seth a little early just to make sure.
That was a really good idea by you. Beth, we also want to encourage you. Beth, break a leg. Enjoy the rest of the run. We'll be talking about Miracle on 34th Street a little bit later in the week, but we wish you the best with the show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You too. Have a great day.
You too, James.
And we'll be back with more The Morning Show tomorrow right here on, Katrina, I like the way you say it. You go ahead.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.